and grew up in the New Market area, Timberville area, so I'm not too far from here. And then we also have with us tonight Yixin, and she is she is from our church in Taiwan, and she's visiting us for about a week, and then she'll be going back. But we thank the Lord for the opportunity for her to be here and just see the church and things like that here in the States. But we are in Taiwan. We've been in Taiwan since 1985, and it's we praise the Lord for what He's allowed us to do, and we'd like to share that with you. But just so you get a taste of Taiwan and how it is there, you know, Taiwan, we speak a different language, and out on the in the vestibule there, we have some Chinese tracks and things like that. You can look at the language, but you look like a bright cloud, group tonight, so I'm going to try to teach you a couple Chinese words. You think you can do that? You don't sound very positive. Okay, I think you can. What is this right here? Ni, okay. What's H-O-W? How, okay. Can you say those two words together? Ni hao. That's hello. See, that didn't hurt, did it? Okay, ni hao. Good, good. And then another word is kind of a Z and an I sound put together. Zai, can you say that? Zai. And what's this here? Qian. Can you say qian with a G sound? Jian, okay. Jian, okay. Say those two words together. Zai, jian. Okay, that's goodbye. Zai, jian. Now don't leave. I know you're thinking, boy, that's the best missionary I ever heard. We're already leaving. No, I'm just kidding. But so ni hao is hello and zai jian is goodbye. So Pastor Shank, if you ever get a chance to come over and visit in Taiwan, you may not know anything that's going on around about you, but at least you'll know two things if you're coming or going. All right? So ni hao and zai jian. Chinese is a tonal language. You might have caught that, ni hao and zai jian. So it's four different tones. If I use the sound zhu with a straight tone, zhu, it means pig. If I go up with my voice, zhu, it means bamboo. If I go down and up like a V, zhu, it means Lord. If you go straight down, zhu, it means to live. So by saying zhu, 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 I've said four different things. And if you hadn't figured it out already, I'm just a country boy, and so easy for me to be preaching, said the pig loves you, amen. But so you can really mess up if you're not careful in the Chinese. But they're very loving and forgiving in our language. But also, not only do we have a different language, but we have all kinds of different foods I could share with you. But I won't, since Eugene's with me today. But I'm just kidding. But we use chopsticks. And whenever you use chopsticks, let me give you a quick lesson on chopsticks, okay? This one right here is stationary. It doesn't move when you're using the chopstick. And then this one here, as you wiggle your finger, that's how you pick up something. So that's the proper way of using chopsticks. If you ever go to a Chinese restaurant, or if you're in Taiwan in a home, whenever someone starts to eat, you'll often see them do that. And that means they're just making sure the chopsticks are even. If they're like this, you can't pick up anything unless you're on one of these side of these hills around here, you know. But they have to be even, and so they often go like this to make sure they're even. So next time you use chopsticks or you see someone using chopsticks, think about missions, okay? Because chopsticks can teach us a good lesson on mission. This one here is stationary. It reminds us of the church. The church is stationary. Unless they build a building or something, they pretty much stay in the same place. And so like this chopstick. And this one here, it's moves. It moves. And it's like your missionary that goes in Africa and Asia and all around the world, Europe, America, wherever God calls them. And so they're out moving, and they're moving around to different places of the world. Just like the chopsticks have to be even, also the missionary and the church are even. One is not more important than the other. The church needs the missionary, and the missionary needs the church. But we are working for the same thing. We are trying to see souls saved. And so when these two chopsticks work together, you can pick up even peas, okay? So when the missionary and the church is working together, we can see souls saved. And so what a joy it is for us to share with you about Taiwan and to realize that we are working together. We're laborers together in the Lord, trying to see people saved. And so next time you think about chopsticks, pray for your missionaries in Asia, okay? And if we could, we'd like to have the lights, and we'll show you the presentation at this time. Hopefully we will. Okay, it's not working. All right, there we go. Okay, can I stand over here? I'll be in anyone's way. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Where God has called us to go is in Asia, and particularly to the Chinese people, China with 1.3 billion people, and also Taiwan with 23 million people. Taiwan, the local language, the local religion is Buddhism, Taoism, also ancestor worship, with about 2% of true Christians. We are with Macedonia, World Baptist Mission, a good mission board in Georgia. And as I said before, we're the Colors family. We've been in Taiwan since 1985. We live in Kaohsiung, which is a southern city. If you've been listening to news and you heard about the landslides and things like that, that's down in the south where we live. It's the second largest city in Taiwan, with a population of 2.5 million, and it's also the second largest port city. It's a very metropolitan city, very large, beautiful, growing, and in many places there without a gospel witness, without a true church. And just to teach you a little thing, tell you a little bit about Taiwan, the main way of transportation is a motorcycle. Yijing just said this week she missed her motorcycle scooter, and she'd like to have it back so she could travel. But most people, my wife and I, both use a motor scooter as we travel around. Matter of fact, the first time we came home on furlough, our sons were just real small at that time, and they were about 5 and 6 years old when we came back. And we were there in L.A. airport waiting for our mother-in-law to pick us up. And my oldest son said, "Daddy, will Grandma be driving a car, riding a motorcycle?" And he wouldn't have been surprised at all if she'd have pulled up in a scooter. But anyway, even with a motorcycle, sometimes it can be hard to find a place to park. And so even on the streets, they park. The outdoor market is very famous in Taiwan. If you come to Taiwan, you for sure want to go to the night market and have all the goodies you can eat there. And, of course, we went to Taiwan not because of all these things, but because of the people. Whether you're young or old, people need to hear about the Lord, and that's why God called us to go there. I'm standing in the second floor window of our church and looking out at this temple or this idol parade. And if you look very carefully, you can see through the smoke the idol there. They're carrying it on two poles. What does that remind you of? The Ark of the Covenant, right. The way the Old Testament said they were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And if you look in the temples and many of the things that they do, it reminds us of the Old Testament temple worship. And I believe one time they had the truth, and of course, over the hundreds of years, they lost it. And you can see that in many things in the temples and in their worship. They also have many, many different idols, and it reminds us of what Psalm tells us, that they have eyes, but they see not, ears have they, but they hear not, hands have they, but they handle not. If you look at the idol on the right there, maybe you can't see it too well tonight, but you can see his hands, and his hands are in special ways, and they're emphasizing the way you hold your fingers and the way you hold your hands, but missing the true point of praying from our heart to God. It reminds us of what Paul said in Acts 17. "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw a city wholly given to idolatry." And that's the way it is in Taiwan, except it's not a city, it's a whole country given to idolatry. When we went to Taiwan, the first thing we did, of course, was learn the language, and then we started Freedom Baptist Church in Fengshan. And as we were there, we souls were saved, church grew, and we bought a building and remodeled it, and then we turned it over to a Chinese pastor, and that's the job of a missionary, is to really work himself out of a job. And so then we started the second church, Mountaintop Baptist Church, where we are today. And of course, starting by passing out tracts and just trying to get people to come, and then starting with the morning worship, also working with the children, the vacation Bible schools you see here. And what a joy it is to see even the little ones come to Christ as their Savior. Here, one of the ladies in the church teaching the children. They're in vacation Bible school. We also have a youth ministry. Pastor, maybe tonight when you have a youth rally, you can try this game, okay? If you look very carefully, they have a chopstick there with a string, and on the bottom of the string is a donut. And somebody has to get on their knees and try to eat the donut without using their fingers. Very good, and also very hard. But anyway, on Saturday night, we have a youth ministry every week. And of course, we just thank the Lord as people came and got saved. Then they followed the Lord in baptism. I wish I could share the testimony of some of these, but just many of them who got saved and baptized. I want you to remember the lady there on the bottom right. I'll say something about her in just a moment. And also, though we are a mission church, we also teach missions, and we believe the Great Commission is for everyone, even them, and so we also support missionaries. We also have the nursing home ministry, and what a joy it was to see these two people. This man got saved in his 80s, and I had the privilege of having his funeral, and a Christian funeral, and his family was there, and they got to hear the gospel. Something that God has really opened up and blessed the last 5 years is the school ministry. In America, we're not allowed to go into school. Perhaps when you were small, you had the weekday religious education, you know, but we can't do that today. But in Taiwan, we could still go into the schools. And so here, my wife is in the for Christmas and for Easter, we go into the schools. Last year, it was 6,000 students heard the true Christmas story and several thousand for Easter. Sometimes a whole school like this school, 800 children or 600 children, they're all together hearing about Christ's resurrection. From kindergarten all the way through college, we have the opportunity to go and tell them about the Lord. After the service, we give them a track and a little gift, and also the opportunity to have a correspondence course where they can continue to learn about the Lord, and then we try to follow up on those that we can. Another ministry that we have is teaching in the Bible school. We help to head up a Bible college, and my wife and I both teach in there. Some of the students we have already graduated, and now our missionaries are full-time working in the church, and so we thank the Lord for this opportunity. This past term, we also had the privilege of being foster parents. Our home church is Valley Baptist Church right down the road. You're probably familiar with that. I hope you don't hold against me, but my son will be playing in their sports program this year. I understand they play you all. Is that right? So don't hold that against me, okay? He hasn't been in Valley for many, many years. But anyway, we had the privilege of having these children in our home from birth, and now they are were adopted by a family in Valley Baptist Church. Their name is Foster, too, by the way. But anyway, as we saw the church grow, we were able to outgrow that little storefront building, and then we found a new building in March, and after we renovated it, we were able to have a great place for a church, and just a good location, and since we moved the new place every Sunday, we've been able to have first-time visitors. Mother's Day is a special time in Taiwan. It's a big celebration time, and I told you to remember that one lady, remember? She's the lady to the left of my wife. And in 25 years, almost 25 years of ministering in Taiwan, last year was our first in a certain thing, and that was to have a mother that had a Christian mother. A mother that had a Christian mother. All of them were first-generation Christians. But this particular lady, her mother was first, had gotten saved many years ago and had been praying for her daughter. And she got saved and baptized this Easter. And there she is now. And right before we came back to the States last month, her two teenage children accepted Christ as their Savior. So we're happy for them. Our church also has a lot of Bible clubs. And since our church is right down the road from elementary school, and on Wednesdays in Taiwan, the children go to school half a day, and so we have a Bible club for them Wednesday afternoon. And then in our new church now, we've also had people saved and followed the Lord in baptism as well. And what a joy that is. And so our goal is to go back to Taiwan and then continue to work on this church. Hopefully we can find land and build a building this next term, and then continue to plant the church there. And here we have the young people, and they're singing, and just continue to work with them as well. This is a blessing. I said our church was in a great location. Right outside the church, there's a little area, a little park-like area where people can sit. One day, there was a man out there in a wheelchair, and in Taiwan, you have a lot of people from like Indonesia and Vietnam. They'll come to the to Taiwan to work. And this lady is from Vietnam, and she was taking care of this older man. My wife witnessed to him, and he wasn't interested, but after she heard the gospel, she was just so excited, and she said, yes, yes, that's what I want. And she accepted Christ as her Savior, and my wife gave her a New Testament in a Vietnamese language and also tracts, and she just engulfed them and read them, and she said, well, you know, I'm going back to Vietnam. Would you teach me how to tell this to my family and friends in Vietnam? And so my wife began to have classes with her, and we ran across some other ladies from Vietnam, and they met at the church, and she's sharing the gospel with them in her own language there in Taiwan. So what a blessing it is to see someone get saved and then have a burden to tell someone else about Christ. And that's what we all should do. And there are the people that are watching the church for us as we're away. I wish you pray for them, that God would call one of these maybe to be the future pastor. I'm also the Far East director in with our mission board, and these are some of the areas that I've had the privilege of going and ministering to and helping the missionaries, and some other areas there that our church, our mission has missionaries. And some of the places that we have the opportunity to go in is Saipan. Saipan is right next to Guam, and there is a real good Chinese church there in Saipan, and they have a Bible school that's set up just for mainland China pastors. The people from mainland China can get visas to go to Saipan for educational purposes, and so they go there and have an intense Bible school for 1 year, and I go there every year and teach Old Testament survey. And here are just some of the classes that we've had over the years. And one particular boy, his English name was Chris. He had a burden to be a missionary in China. And so I told him that I'd be willing to help him as a missionary go and start churches there in China. And he went into the mountainous area and began to witness, and people began to get saved. And there he is baptizing there in one of the rivers. But you know, I wish every story had a good ending or a happy ending. The government found out about what he was doing and put Chris in prison. And of course he was persecuted, and he's out of prison now. But mentally and emotionally he's unable to continue on in the ministry. Pray for him that God would help him to recover from what he faced there in prison. But I share that story just to remind us, don't ever take for granted what we have in the United States. And pray for our country and do all we can do to keep it free, because, you know, we never know what could happen in the future. We need to do what we can do to keep it the way it is. And also I have the privilege of going into China. And China is a very vast nation, of course, and a varied nation between the large cities like you see here, somewhat like Washington, D.C. and New York City, and then the countryside, very varied. But wherever you go in China, you just see many, many, many people. The daily life in China, in the country, is very, very tough and very, very hard to make a living. But they also have the market areas, the local market, the outside markets where you can buy your vegetables and things like that. But they also have a taste of the West, albeit a little bit different. And you can see Subway there being delivered on a motor scooter, and Domino Pizza being delivered on a motor on a bicycle. And their favorite restaurant in China is Kentucky Fried Chicken. In Taiwan, it's McDonald's, okay? But, you know, they also have idolatry and worship, false worship in China as well. And this man on the bottom, I took his picture. He was right there in the street carving out idols and selling them right on the street. Isn't it interesting that Chris would go and preach the gospel and tell people how to have peace in their heart and how to have eternal life, and he's put in jail. This man is out on the street carving idols and selling them, yet he does it day by day, and no one says anything about it. And so they also have many different idols in China as well. The greatest religion, though, if you can call it a religion in China, is atheism or humanism. But here we see people, and this is also in China, but you can see the same thing in Taiwan. These people bow before the idol, and they're praying to this idol. Maybe you say, Brother Keith, why in the world would somebody pray to an idol? Well, really, it's quite simple. Why do we go to church? Why do we pray? Why do we want to hear about the Lord? Why do we accept Him as our Savior? Because we have sin. Because we know one day we're going to die. Because we have burdens in our heart and we're seeking for peace and we're seeking for eternal life. Well, that's the same thing. They have those same burdens. They have those same desires. But the only thing that they've ever been taught all their life is to go to the temple and go to the idol. And so they need to hear the gospel, the truth. In China, we also go to the house churches and preach and teach in many of them. And of course, when people get saved, they get baptized, and had the privilege of being baptizing these people in China. You, if you look at that picture, you say, you know, that looks like a bathroom. Well, you know what? That's what it is. We were baptizing in the bathtub, because you have to do it secretly, and you have to be find ways of doing it without someone seeing you. And I went to a village area there in Harbin up in the northern China, and they made this dinner for us as we taught and preached to them. And this family here said to me, he said, Pastor, said, can you stay here in our city and start a church? And I had to say, I'm sorry, but I need to go back to Taiwan. And they said, well, then can you send somebody to start a church? And I had to say, I'm sorry, but I don't have anybody to send. And you know, there are just hundreds of places like that all over China and Taiwan and Asia where people are just waiting for someone to come and start a church. Sometimes I go outside our church there in Taiwan and I see the children come in and the young people that's gotten saved and I see the couples that get saved and the older people that get saved and I think, you know, they got saved for one simple reason. Somebody went there and started a church and started passing out tracts and witnessing them and they believed. How many other places are there all around just waiting for somebody to go and begin to spread the gospel? I believe they would get saved and a church could be founded just like the ones that we've done. They're just waiting for someone to come. Won't you pray that God would send laborers into these areas? Another place we go is also in the Philippines, and we host a Bible pastors conference there every year, and many pastors come. They're very poor, of course, and so we help them with their transportation and with their housing. And the church was not big enough, so they literally took out the windows of the church and set up a tent so more pastors could come. They eat and sleep right there on the church grounds, as you see here, and what a joy it is to be a part in there and also ministering to different churches there. If I had time, I could tell you how we've helped different churches and their needs there in the Philippines. We also go to South Korea. We have missionaries there. I had the privilege of having a mission conference, the first one in this Pastor Lee's church, and they began to support missionaries because of that meeting. They're right outside of the DMZ zone. And if you know, that's the area, the furthest you can go from South Korea to North Korea. Right there they have a barrier, a fence, and things like that. It's as far as you can go. And as their custom is, the people in South Korea will go to that border and they'll take pieces of cloth and they'll write on it. Maybe they'll say happy birthday to mom and dad or grandma or grandpa. Or maybe they'll say we've had a baby or such and such a thing's happened. They'll tell news to their family in North Korea that they'll never ever see again. And it's so sad to read their notes and to see what they say. You know, it kind of reminds me of God's Word. God has written His Word. He's given us His Word. It's written down there and He's telling us the good news of the Gospel. But so many people, like these people, they'll never see those notes. They'll never read those notes. They'll never know that the loved one has reached out to them and tried to show their compassion and love to that family. And so many people in the world, and even in North Korea, have never heard the gospel. And what a burden, what a responsibility it is for us to tell them about the gospel. Won't you pray for Asia and pray that God would send forth laborers into His harvest. It says here, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. And I pray that you'd take one of our prayer cards and pray for us as we go back to Taiwan next year and continue the work there in Taiwan and the different places in Asia. Thank you for your opportunity to share this with you. Anyone, as we're getting ready to continue on, anyone have a question you'd like to ask? If we can have the lights, please. Oh, they're on. Okay. Anybody have a question you'd like to, you saw the slides, or you'd like to ask something about what you saw? Anybody at all? Have a question about what I've said or what I've shared with you? Anybody have a question? Yes, sir. What kind of freedom do we have in Taiwan? We have complete freedom in Taiwan. It's not like China at all. Their government is set up somewhat like the government of the United States, and so we have perfect freedom. We have no opposition from the government whatsoever. Yes, sir. Well, you have to do it secretly. The house churches or underground churches, as they're called. You have the three self churches, which are open churches, which are controlled by the government. But then you have many, many, many house churches, and they are in secret. They meet in people's homes or maybe a business, or some of these were in the basement of a big apartment building. And so they are held secretly. Maybe Chris was too open. You saw that he baptized in the river. Maybe it was too open, or perhaps someone came and saw what he was doing, but they found out. So most of the house churches are, you know, very secret.
Was he in prison long enough to affect his mental building?
Yes, he was in prison about a year, Jeanette. I'm not sure. About a year. And I don't know what kind of torment he went through, but I just know that he got out of prison physically. They said he was okay, but emotionally, mentally, he was not able to continue ministering. But he's home with his family, and his father is also a pastor, and so he's in good hands. Okay? All right, anybody else have a question? Yes, sir.
My question is,
That's a good question. If you go to China as a missionary, of course you can't go to China as a missionary. You either have to go to study the language or you go and teach in a college. And so many people go as a teacher or they go as a student. And that's how they get a visa to go there long term to stay in China. And really, each area is different. I have several friends that I go and preach to there in their churches, and two of them have been found out by the government. And it just so happened that the policeman that came to investigate was a classmate of someone in the church, and they told him, please don't report it. And so he wrote down the report, but he never handed it in. And so sometimes you have things like that that happens, but it is more difficult for a foreigner, of course, to... We do stand out. And so a lot of times in the house churches, you know, we have to go there very secretly so people won't know that who we are. But because there's so many foreigners in China, you know, there's so many, I don't know how many thousands or millions go there every day just as tourists. And the difference between North Korea and China is that China has opened its doors to visitors. They want tourists to come and spend money there. And so they welcome foreigners to go. So there are a lot of foreigners around, mingling around, you know. It's not like you're the only person there. All right, good question. Anybody else, real quickly? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's a good question. I think, and it's just my opinion, that they fear what would happen to the other countries, perhaps the United States retaliation, or they depend on the world for their trade. And of course, everything you see now is made in China. And if they would attack, perhaps people would shun their products. So I think it's that kind of a fear. They're certainly not fear of Taiwan's military, but I think they fear other countries, what they would do, reaction they would have. But I'm sure if Taiwan became an independent country, they would do something about it. Okay? All right, anything else? Any other question? Okay, if there aren't any other questions, let me just briefly share a couple of verses with you, okay? If you would, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs, chapter 29, a very familiar verse of Scripture, and I promise you to be brief. And just share three different points with you tonight. Proverbs chapter 29. And let's look at verse number 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." And of course, I want to emphasize the first part of that verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And today, I think I want to share with you three different visions I think we should have today. Three things we should think about. Three things we should see in our mind's eye. Three things that we should consider as we think about living for the Lord and as we think about missions tonight. You might say three goals or three plans or three desires that we have. Three things that we should see. Number one, I think the first vision we should see and never forget is the vision of a dying sinner. The vision of a dying sinner, a sinner that's dying without Jesus Christ. Of course, he is unprepared for eternity. We won't turn to all these verses tonight for sake of time, but in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 4, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, it also says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so we see here that people are going to die. We know that. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every person that we see, we should never forget that person one day is going to die. And are they prepared for death? Are they ready to die? If we looked in Luke chapter 16 and the story of the rich man and Lazarus, then we remember whenever it says the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. People are going to die. Everyone we see today is going to die. And where will they spend eternity? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. Mark chapter 8. And let's look at a couple of verses there. Mark chapter 8. Look at verse number 36 and verse number 37. The Bible says, "For what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh, if a man could gain the whole world and lose his soul, What has he gained? One time there was a rich man in a town, and everyone knew this man. He was very rich, but no one knew exactly how rich he was. And one day he passed away, and the pastor had the funeral. And there were some people that came to the pastor secretly and said, Pastor, how much did he leave? And the pastor said, all of it. He left it all. He didn't take any of it. And may we remember that though a man is very popular and very educated, very rich, when he dies, if he dies without Christ, he faces eternity and eternity in hell. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Without Jesus Christ, there is no way to go to heaven. And so in our mind's eye, if we can remember that dying sinner, he is facing eternity in hell. One time there was a preacher that lost his burden. He was ready to quit. He was ready to throw in the towel. And there was another famous preacher. If I said his name, perhaps you'd know who he was. And he had a burden from this pastor. And so he said, listen, before you quit, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to pay you for a week to go to New York City. And I'm going to put you in a nice hotel. And you can stay there for a week and think about what you're doing. I only have one request. Every day at 12 o'clock, from 12 to 1 o'clock, I want you to go down to the main street and sit there on the corner for 1 hour. 1 week, all expense paid. That's the only request I have. And so the pastor went to New York and sat there every day for several days at from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Before the week was over, he called the pastor that invited him to go and said, Pastor, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to quit. You see, what he did every day, he went down there and saw all those thousands of people passing by. And God began to work on his heart, and he began to see all of those souls and so many of them going out into eternity without Christ. And he realized he could not quit. And so the first thing we need to see, I think, is a vision of a lost sinner dying without Christ and his eternity in hell. Look at me, if you would, the second thing I think we need to have is a vision of a dying Savior. A vision of a dying Savior. And there's so many verses that we could go to today and look about how it was when Christ died upon the cross. Sometime look at Isaiah chapter 53 and just read there how that he was a man of sorrow, how that our sins were laid upon him, and how that he died and he bore our transgression. God's wrath was put upon him. You see, Christ died, but who did he die for? He died for the dying sinner. He died for the lost man. That's who he died for. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, it says that Christ endured the shame for the joy that was set before him. Christ endured the pain of the cross. Why did he do that? He said, for the joy that set before him. What was that joy? Perhaps we could debate what that was, but I believe that joy was Christ saw down through eternity all the people that would be saved because of what he was doing on the cross. Perhaps Christ saw you and me as he hung there on the cross, and he realized that he was providing a way, the only way, that the lost sinner could be saved. The Bible tells in Philippians chapter 2, it said that Jesus Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did it say even the death of the cross? Because the cross was that most terrible, painful way of dying. Jesus died. He suffered for you and I because he loved us. We see the vision of the dying Savior on the cross. All if we could hear him say to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we could hear him say to the thief beside of him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, today, if we could see Jesus Christ dying on the cross, dying for each one of us, dying for each person in the world, oh, what a difference it would make in our heart. If we could see Christ dying for lost men, that is, he is their only hope of eternal life. And then the last thing tonight, I wish we could see a vision of a dying saint, a vision of a dying sinner, lost without Christ. A vision of Christ, the Savior, dying for lost men. But then look, if you could, at a vision of a dying saint. And what a difference it is for a dying Christian or a Christian to die, a dying saint. Look with me, perhaps you're still in Mark chapter 8. Look with me at Mark chapter 8, verse number 34 and verse number 35. The Bible says that when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake the same shall save it. All, if we realize to give for Christ, to Christ, and for the gospel's sake, it's not to lose, but it's to gain. If we go back to Luke chapter 16, and where we saw the rich man died and he lifted up his eyes in hell, but we also see the Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What a difference between the lost person dying and the Christian dying. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 12, and look with me at starting with verse number 24. John chapter 12, and look at verse 24 and following. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, but he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." Now look at verse 26. "If a man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If a man serve me, him will my Father honor." If a man serve me, him will my Father honor. Oh, what a difference it is between a lost person dying and a servant of the Lord dying. If we're willing to give our life to Christ, we really gain our life. We really get by giving. A great paradox. And we see here that Jesus said, "The one who served me, him will my Father honor." The last verse I'd like you to turn to tonight, if you would, look with me at 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we see here this saint, this great man of God, Paul, as he is on his deathbed or as he's soon going to leave this world. And look what he said about his departing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's begin reading with verse number 6. It says, "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but also unto all men, but unto all men also that love his appearing." All Paul said, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course." All he said, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." I trust that whenever we come to that time, as we are that dying saint, we can say the same thing. I finished what God wanted me to do. Now the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, one day we'll stand before the Lord as believers and our works, all that we've done, will be judged. Hay, hay and stubble, or there'll be gold and silver and precious stone. We'll gain reward for some of those things that we've done for Christ, but many of the things will be burnt and we'll have nothing. Right before I came back to Taiwan, there was a lady in my church, and I won't give her name today. I wouldn't embarrass her, but she called me on the phone. She's approaching 50 years old. And she said, "Pastor," she said, she was crying and weeping. She said, "Pastor, I'm almost 50 years old, and my life is at least half over." And she said, I'm so ashamed because I've lived my life selfishly, and I don't want to meet God like this. What can I do? What can I do with the rest of my life? As we see a vision tonight of the dying saint, if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, can you in your mind's eye see yourself standing before God? How will it be? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Paul said, "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. I'm finished. I've done what God wants me to do." And he was ready to go into eternity. I wonder tonight, are we ready to meet the Lord? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, if you're like that first person, the dying sinner, would you realize tonight without Christ, you have no eternal life? Oh, I trust that you'd get ready. Did you accept Christ as your Savior? Tonight, if you are a Savior, and we think about one day leaving this world and standing before Christ, are we ready to meet Him? And if not, what can we do to get ready? If we're not living our life for the Lord, if we're not serving Him, may we not be like this young lady, this lady that called me on the phone and said, "I've lived my life selfishly, and I'm not ready to meet the Lord." I trust as we die and we leave this world and stand before God, we can leave as Paul did and say, "I've finished my course." Let's bow for a word of prayer.